to worship him right now all across this house. Could you just lift your hand? Seek him right now. Jesus, we worship you. We magnify you, God. Have your way in this place today. Jesus, we need you. We worship you. What an awesome God we serve. I'm thankful to be in his house today. Thankful to be in his presence, and I'm thankful to be here with all of you. Be a little difficult to preach to just the walls. I remember one service preaching, and there was just one person in the audience, and I will tell you, that's difficult. And the more of you, the better it goes. So I'm thankful that we have a decent-sized crowd here today, man. It makes it better, and it just makes it better in all the ways, not just for the preacher, but I like being around God's people and around the church family. I'm thankful for the family of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 13. I want to just read this one verse of scripture, Deuteronomy 32:13. It says, "He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock." If you just put your Bibles down, let's ask God to help us. God, humbly I come before you. I ask that you would help me today. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Use me, oh God. Help me to convey this message that you've given me. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. What an awesome God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I'm thankful that we have this Bible that we can turn back to, that we can reference, and that we can get inspiration. I don't believe for a second that I would be alone in saying that we all have hard times that we face. I don't think there's a one of us here that, either if you're not currently in the distant, not so far past, or the near future time, and we have this book that we can turn to, that we can get inspiration, that we can get direction from. What a treasure our Bible is. This verse that I read to you is part of a song that was written by Moses after having a conversation with God. God had told Moses to write this song as a witness once Moses had died. Moses, God told him, "I'm getting ready to take you. I'm getting ready to turn this over to another set of leadership under Joshua. And after you die, the people are going to go astray. The people are going to turn their back on me. And Moses, you've stood in the gap, and somehow you've corralled these millions of people to stay, not at all times, but most of the time, keep them focused in the right direction. And Moses, I'm about to take you. And when I do take you, these people are going to stray. And so I want you to write a song about my goodness that we can reference later, that later I can go back to and reference how I had helped them and how I had blessed them." So Moses pens this song. And in verse 4 of chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, it says, "He is the rock." And notice the capital R. "His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." I'm going to skip some of the other verses and go down to verse 9, where it says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance," or Israel, the people of Israel. "He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." This is talking about the children of Israel, how God had found them in the wilderness and then continued to lead them. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. And he made him ride on the high places of the earth. that he might eat out of the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Now that sounds like some old English. We don't read books like that. Today's they don't give you that in school to read and try and comprehend. But what it's doing is it's a form of poetry or a form of expression of how God has sustained Israel. He's telling Moses to write this because I've cared for my people. I've protected them. I've led them. I've increased them. I've given them. I've sustained them. And so I want you to write this. And can I say it's a parallel of where we were when we found God? We were scattered. We were without hope. And thank God that he extended mercy to each and every one of us. It was undeserved mercy, but I'm thankful that when I was in the wilderness and I was lost and I was looking and nowhere to go, that a God came and led me and instructed me. At the same time, this God has a plan of provision for you and I. If you look at verse 10, he found them and he led them and instructed them. When we get to an altar of repentance and our life turns a new direction, we are just getting started. That's not the plateau. That's not the final destination, just an altar of repentance and receiving the Holy Ghost. But rather, it is a moment of being born again that now we just started living. We just started finally walking on this journey of life in the right direction. And being born again, we're like a fragile infant that has just taken a few breaths in a new world. And as you watch a child grow, we are the same way, paralleling spiritually, that a child begins to grow, it begins to be influenced and led by its parents. In this case, it's God has given us a shepherd, a pastor to lead and help as we begin to emerge in a new way of life. There's no way that you and I could begin to understand the ins and outs of this Bible. There's no way that you and I could begin to understand how to fully live life and deal with the challenges and the problems that life's going to throw. But thank God that he put someone in my life that can lead me and shepherd me and guide me and teach me. If you look at the word pastor throughout the Bible, it's interchangeable with the word shepherd. In fact, in the King James Version, when we read shepherd, it's actually not the English word that we use shepherd, but rather it's from the Latin word shepherd, which really means to lead or to protect or to guide. It truly, God has given us, when he says that I've led you and I've instructed you, let me tell you how that is. That's through a pastor. That's through a preacher that's going to give the word of God into my life. And I'm thankful to have a pastor today in my life. But the process of growing is one that is filled with pain. It's one that's filled with stretching. It's one that's filled with time. It's one that requires learning and listening. And thank God that he didn't just tell us that, well, you've got the Holy Ghost, so now you just make it until your time comes. No, I'm thankful that I can open my ears and that I can open my heart and receive direction and instruction that's going to keep me on the right path. But as a child grows, and the same for us, there's things that are taught from a pulpit, but there's other things that are revealed or understood by our influences, by the things around us, by whatever we involve ourselves in life. Sometimes that becomes an even bigger teacher in our life than even our pastor or church. And there's things that your children, you can teach them, and you should teach them. But there's a lot of things that they're going to pick up from their friends at school, that they're going to pick up from their friends at church. They're going to pick up from their aunts and their uncles and their other relatives and from society as a whole. There's things that we are influenced and we glean from that are not necessarily taught directly from our parents. There's people that say, well, I've got the Word of God, and God speaks to me through His Word. You better believe He does. He speaks to us on an individual, personalized level through His Word. But I still need a pastor to tell me the way I'm supposed to live. I'm reminded of the eunuch that was out there, and he's reading Isaiah. And Philip comes, and Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That eunuch had the Word of God. That eunuch was reading the Word of God. But he said, "How can I unless a man shows me?" Oh, there's a spirit in the world today that says, "I don't need a pastor, and I don't need church, and I don't need to hear someone telling me what to do." But can I tell you, that does not line up with the Bible, because I find from cover to cover where God always had a man of God that was leading and directing and guiding His people. But this child, as they grow, they begin to be influenced by things around. And this child has to make decisions. There's a point as we walk with it, and many points, that we're going to have to choose how we're going to live. We're going to have to choose how we're going to follow. And God gives us this gift of a free will. He doesn't expect us to always make the right decision. I know that doesn't sound right, but it's true. God does not expect you and I to make every single decision perfect. What He does expect is that our heart would be in a place of openness, and our heart would be in a place of humility, that when I get to a place that I didn't make the right decision, that I did stumble and fall, that I can receive instruction and correction from Him that's going to get me back on the right path. You see, the way we learn in life is not always through just observation, but sometimes we have to go through it and experience it ourselves. And I'm thankful that God has, like an eagle, it says, covers us and protects us. The reason He does is because we're still going to encounter storms in our life. There's still environmental factors, if you will, of our spiritual walk that it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. And we have a choice. We can either run to Him and we can let Him guide us and lead us and protect us, or we can try and do it on our own. We have that choice. But if we run to Him, Psalms 91 and 4 says, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." It talked about in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 32 that an eagle stirs up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. There's a level of protection that God gives us as a child of God, and I'm so thankful to have it. Deuteronomy 32:13, it says, "He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape," which would be wine. These verses are promises of provision. It is the will of God for His children to be blessed. But let me stop and say, that does not mean that we do not go through tests or trials, or that we will not land in a desolate time on the journey. Oh, I mean, we can read promise after promise of blessing in the Bible and thank God for it. And I believe every one of them. And I believe it's the will of God that in your life and in my life, there will be blessings. There will be blessings that the world does not get access to. There will be prosperity that the world does not get. But sometimes we land in a wilderness. Sometimes we land in a desolate place. Why? Because He's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us something. He's trying to work out something. And at least after a life of ups and downs, David had been in a place of a shepherd in a lonely place on the backside that nobody knew him. And he gets anointed, and we know he goes and kills Goliath, and we know he ends up in the kingdom. But we know that he spent time running through fields and in caves, and then David falls, and David has this life that is just a roller coaster from start to finish. But he said in Psalms 37:25, he said, "I have been old and now am young, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." This is a man that had spent time in a wilderness. He had spent time in caves. David did not have a life that was just filled with ease and prosperity always. But we find that David was a very prosperous man. David had blessings. David, when you look at it, the temple that Solomon built could not have happened without David having being involved in all that and gathering the materials. And by proxy, no doubt, he became a wealthy man himself. Job, he was a righteous man, we know that, and he did everything that he knew to please God. But God had some instruction for Job. God had some growing for Job to do, and growing is painful. Growing, I remember as a kid laying awake at night, and your legs just ache and they hurt because you're growing and cool, and you grew an inch or two or whatever the case is, but you sure don't like laying there as you're growing and being stretched and as your bones are pushing and when your teeth are coming in and they're growing and it's painful. We don't like that. But God knows that we have to grow. But we see that Job, when he finally passed the test, he was blessed way more than he was before. And I really doubt that Job, for the next 140 years, as a blessed man, doubly blessed as what he was before, I highly doubt Job looked back and said, man, I wish I'd never gone through that trial. Man, I wish I had never had to deal with any of that. It just, man, look how rough life is. No, let me tell you, Job, when he had his blessings and he was living in the prosperity and the promises of God, can I tell you, he looked back and said, thank God for the trial. Thank God for what I went through because it made me better. It purified me. It got the things that were in the way out so that God could bless me. Phrase I want to lift out of verse 13 that I read in Deuteronomy is that phrase, honey in the rock. Let me just put that in somewhat modern English, that honey is not found in rocks. If you want some honey, don't go looking for a big rock, because honey does not grow or come out of rocks. Rocks are barren. Rocks are hard. Rocks do not provide provision. And it would be impossible for a rock to provide sustenance. It would be impossible for a rock to give you food or to sustain you just as a rock. But I came to remind somebody that might be in a desolate, barren wilderness, that there is still a rock with a capital R that has honey pouring out of it. It doesn't matter the wilderness. It doesn't matter the circumstance. There is a God that is still able to sustain you. And in the wilderness, there is a God that can still provide sweetness in the midst of a barren, desolate land. I'm thankful to know that kind of God today. Oh, can we just give him praise right now to know that we serve the provider. We serve the Almighty God who can do anything. I'm thankful that I serve that kind of rock. I'm thankful that when we read before, it said in verse 4 that he is the rock. That was the prelude to what I just read about honey in the rock. It used a capital R and it said he's a God of truth and without iniquity and just and right is he. I'm thankful to know the rock. It's a rock that the world rejected. When he was in the world and walking among them, the Almighty Creator that was housed in a body of flesh, the world didn't have time for him. The world rejected him. This is the rock I'm talking about. It's a rock that was there and has stood the ages. It's a strong rock, a place that we can run to when we're in trouble. And when I'm hidden in the shelter of that rock, it's where I find sustenance. It's where I am sustained. But the world, the devil, your flesh, will do everything possible to try and get us to give up in the wilderness. It will. You see, there's always another solution presented. When you're in the midst of a dry, barren wilderness, there's always a caravan that's trying to go another direction that says, come on board. Because after all, look at where you're at. You're going to die out here in this wilderness. And as that I picture that mule train coming through that's saying, hey, we're going to prosperity. We're going over here where there's water. And but you know it's not right. You know it's not what God told you. And you know God has you right in the wilderness for a reason. There's this tug of war of, well, which... But look, they have an answer. Can I tell you, whatever the world offers you is a temporary answer. It's a temporary solution. And it might have temporary relief, but thank God that if we'll make the right choice, we can find the real answer to the problem. There's a real rock that I can run to that in the time of storm and trouble, that He will sustain me even in the wilderness of my salvation. Psalms 81 verse 10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That does not sound like a God that is stingy. That does not sound like a God that is trying to withhold blessings from His people. But look at verse 11. He said, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. He's saying, hey, oh, that my people would have listened, that my people would do what I'm telling them to do. Oh, that they would just stay in the wilderness as I'm leading and guiding them, because I will sustain them. I will bring them a way out. But our flesh is just like Israel, where there's always a better option. There's... You see, we don't like pain. I don't think anybody in here likes to be in pain. And we're always, in today's society, looking for the answer to pain, whether it's the latest pill or the latest way of escape. We're in such a society that is programmed to be anti-pain. When you look at how they were back in the old days, back in the Old West, there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of suffering. And I don't say that all that's great. I mean, I know that there was a lot of tragedy. But can I tell you, it produced something in those people that had grit, that didn't just give up, that wasn't just blown away by every little trouble that came their way. But there was something that came out of that pain and suffering that was a grit and a tenacity that said, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on keeping on. And that's where we've got to get to. We've got to get to the place that the things this world offers, that we say no, no matter how good they look, no matter how good they taste, no matter how good they would seem to be, we've got to turn from the things that the world is offering us. We've got to turn to the rock. I came to encourage somebody that today you can run to the rock. Oh, I know the storm is loud. I know the rain is starting to crash down in life. But when that happens, go find thee. Get to the rock, because in the rock there is honey in the rock. Deuteronomy 28. I won't be much longer. And it shall come to pass. This was just a few chapters before this song that Moses wrote. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently under the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come, means they will come. They're not here yet, but they will come and overtake thee. It's going to be more than you can really handle, so many blessings, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. He said, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed with the fruit of thy body and of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you, to be smitten before thy face. and they shall come out against thee one way, but flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. In verse 11 it says, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto thy land, and bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only and not beneath. If, probably two of the most hinging letters when they're put together possible in our language. If, that means that there's a contract here, if you will. You have to do your part if you want this part. We're not guaranteed these blessings unless we do what God's asking. If we don't do that, we don't get these blessings. But if you'll hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them. And if you read farther in that chapter, he turns around and he says, but if you don't, if you won't listen, if you won't live for me, if you're going to turn away from the city and curse in the field, and he goes through this same list that he already had given them of blessing, he says it'll be cursed because you're not living for God. Jeremiah 29:11, as I get ready to close, he said, for the thought, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has provision for us. It's a process. It's a journey. It takes time, but God does bring sweetness in the wilderness. I can tell you from personal experience that being in a desolate place, I have found sweetness. I know what it's like to be in a wilderness and to have the Almighty God reach down and put some sweetness right there in the middle of the wilderness. It's not the sweetness that maybe I want. It's not maybe what I'm trying to get to. But can I tell you, there is blessings in a wilderness. There is sustenance in a wilderness. There is a way to make it through the wilderness. But somebody, if you're there, you got to get to that rock. It's only in the rock. It's not in the things the world gives us. It's not in all the easy escapes. Can I tell you, the bottle, the pills, the women, the men, the whatever the vice is that's being thrown your way, it's not the answer. It's only a temporary Band-Aid. But can I tell you, if you can get on the rock, the Bible talks about if we'll just fall on the rock instead of the rock falling on us. Oh, I want to come to him ahead of time. I want to throw myself on that rock and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I can't do it on my own. If you would stand all across this house, I wonder if there's anybody in this place that you need somebody out of the rock today. I wonder if there's somebody that you found yourself in some circumstances that you don't like. That, oh, it might be uncomfortable, it might be painful. Can I ask you, what's stopping you from getting to the rock? Oh, what's in the way of finding the true peace that you've been looking for? Oh, these altars are open all across this house. Can we all just bind together right now and begin to pray? Begin to ask God to help us, draw us back to the place in the rock. Draw us back to the place where our help really comes from. Oh, help us today, Jesus. We need you. Oh, help us, God. We need you. These altars are open. If you would come right now all across this house. Jesus, we need you. God, we need you at this place.
I wonder today if we could just all, if you're able to gather up near the front, if you don't mind, you can sit, stand, whatever. But I just wonder if we could all bind together today. I feel like that the enemy is at work in our lives. And sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. But there's strength in unity. You never see a soldier go out and attack an army by himself or herself. But you see people band together. And so I'm asking today, can we take a few moments together up here? And can we bind together in prayer? I wonder, could we do that? Amen. I need some men to help me. I'm all alone over here. Amen. Maybe I can get Brother Gordon to come over. I know Brother Pierre will help me. I wonder if we could bind together and pray today. I don't know about you, but I need more strength. I need more strength. Let's pray for each other.
Oh, myself.